Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people and I'm feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Yeah, I love that song. Doug is so good at putting that together. I had such a fun night. Oh, before the social distancing kicked in. If you want to message the show, you can by giving us a call at 314-436-7900. Text messaging is up too. We talked at the start of the show about wrestling. Apparently, Macho Man Randy Savage used to play for the St. Louis Cardinals, or was at least in the farm system, from what I understand. That is a quality text message. More quality text messages like that. Macho Man in the Cardinal system. Of course he was. He was the Macho Man. And if he was going to play for anyone, it would be the Macho Team. So we asked this right before the break. What does the new normal look like? And when do you think we'll get there? Because that's the question they keep asking the experts and Dr. Fauci. I played that clip from earlier today. I got some more from President Trump's press conference we're going to get to. But we didn't have time to play the patriotic song last hour. This came in by listener recommendation, and it was a song, kind of, a narrated over music. John Wayne, America, Why I Love Her. It's more of a poem. Great John Wayne poem. So we're going to play that in just a couple of minutes. So if you missed it, oh, you didn't. Lucky you. Oh, lucky you. So how about I bring this up real quick. Okay. There's a few things about the press conference asking about when things are going to get back to normal. Someone did ask about lifting things by April 30th, because originally they said, we're going to give this another 30 days. A little optimistic, some people believe.
Do you think you'd be able to lift restrictions on April 30th right now?
I don't want to comment on that, but I can tell you that we certainly want to try. We certainly want to see what's going on. We're doing very well. Look, you look at those, you look at most places where that... You can call it the bump, you can call it the hill, you can call it the mountain, you can call it whatever you want to do it. It's very flat. You take a look, and that was done through mitigation. That was done through a lot of good work. And that far exceeded our expectations before. I mean, people can't even believe how low some of those bumps are, some of those hills are. They're very surprised. Now, you have a couple of tough ones. New Jersey's been very tough, and New York has been very tough. They're crowded in. You know, it's tight. It's tougher. But far exceeding. California far exceeds. Washington State far exceeds. You look at so many of these states, how well they're doing. The eight states, by the way, and I haven't spoken to the governors, but Tony's so right. They may not have it from the standpoint that they're saying it, but those people are practicing it. And they're doing a fantastic job. Take a look at where they are in terms of the levels, but take a look where they are. So, but if I thought it was something that, and I've looked at them very carefully, looked at them today, looked at them yesterday, From a constitutional standpoint, I'd love not to get involved with that. And not from a legal standpoint, just from a moral, constitutional standpoint. Because legally, I can. But morally, I believe in our Constitution, much more so than most people. And I'd love to be able to let the governors do what they have to do.
Yeah, and I think that is the right way to do it. Let the governors decide what's best for their state. Let's go to Joe before we play our patriotic song, who's calling into Overnight America. Now, Joe, I'm excited to hear your story. From what I understand, you had some time together with Macho Man Randy Savage?
Yeah, Brian. It was back in the early 80s at the old arena, and they were having a big wrestle royale. I'd have to pull my ticket from the ticket stubs that I save and make a copy and mail it to you. But yeah, me and my brother, younger brother Dave, we were down at the old arena, big wrestle royale. Randy Savage and Tito Santana pull up in a rental car, a subcompact, and coming up in a regular parking lot of the old arena, they parked on the far end, as people know how the old setup was in the back of the old arena. And we were parked up close because we got there early. We were tailgating, had an old Coleman cooler with a 56-quart metal cooler, the old green kind. And I'm 65, but anyway, we were drinking beer, tailgating, and they pull up. And I said, hey, there's Macho Man and Tito. Tito went on in, and we called Macho Man over. And I said, hey, Macho Man, you want to drink a beer with us? He goes, what are you drinking? I said, Ice Cold Bush. He goes, I train on that down in Florida. And, I mean, this guy was a mountain of a man. I'm 5 foot 11, and this guy was like at least another half a foot or more ahead of me and twice as wide. And anyway, he defended his belt, and I told him, I said, before they get the best of you, give him the pile driver, Macho Man. That's what he finished the guy off on. I forget who he's wrestling for the belt. But yeah, he finished him off with the pile driver.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Did he talk like that? Because he was known the way he sounded.
He had, you know, as I forget the one guy, Mean Gene or whatever that used to do the interviews with him. Yeah, he was, you know, he had that same persona about him, you know, how he made it to the public. Real nice guy, down to earth, though, you know.
About
10 minutes, and then he had to go on in, and I said, you want a traveler? And he's like, yeah, sure, I'll take one. So we gave him a bush to go.
He was so good. Yeah, Macho Man was such an unbelievable athlete, just purely amazing. And he was a superstar there for the longest time before wrestling, you know, became WWF, and, you know, they started poaching from all these other regional areas. You used to see all kinds of great wrestling here in St. Louis. I heard some great stories from that.
Yeah, Mr. Rector, like I said, it was wild. And like I said, well, everybody's in. Like I said, I'm recently retired. I retired in January. But I'm by myself. I mean, got my brothers and sisters and stuff. They're doing all right. I just run up and down the Rock Road on my bike and then walk the trail along the river walk, and that's still open. Real nice. And the only other thing I've been doing, I mean, I know a lot of people, they have different stuff going on. I'm kind of on the religious side, you know. But I've been reading this book my sister turned me on to. It was called The Boy Who Met Jesus, about the Rwanda massacre and stuff like that. It's by Immaculee Ilibagizi or whatever, it was Steve Irwin.
Okay.
Bestseller. A really, really interesting book. So for those of you on the religious side, good reading.
All right. Wait, perfect. Well, thank you for that update, Joe.
And
hey, thank
you.
Have a great night.
Doing all right.
Oh, we're making it, man. Thank you. Have a good night. Yeah, my family's doing very good right now, except for when I do the grocery shopping. My wife is normally the person that does the grocery shopping. So when I am the one that has to go out and do the shopping, I come back and she goes through and she says, oh, no, you did it wrong. I'm starting to get it right. So luckily, we've been doing all right lately until I get it wrong again. And I think most guys may be in the same boat as me. So we've been holding off on the patriotic song. So if you hold on, if you're on the line now, we'll get you right after the break at 314-436-7900. Oh, what's this, Producer Mike? I got a clip of Macho Man yelling at Ricky Steamboat. Is that right? Okay, let's hear some Macho Man, Producer Mike.
Macho Man Randy Savage, Sarasota, Florida. Come on in. You're going to be defending against the Dragon, Ricky Steamboat. What's the cup for?
WrestleMania 3, Pontiac, Michigan. Yeah, 90,000 plus people watching right there. And this is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's cup of coffee in the big time. Yeah, cup of coffee in the big time, because he'll never get closer than now. I am the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion, and I will remain the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. And George the Animal Steel on the outside will be no factor, yeah.
Oh, man, I love that. Macho Man Randy Savage, oh, yeah. Man, that would have been a fun guy to meet. All right, we missed out on our patriotic song, so I think we're going to play that now. It's a great John Wayne poem, America, Why I Love Her, and this works out pretty well. We'll take some more of your calls coming up. Don't go anywhere on Overnight America KMOX.
You ask me why I love her? Well, give me time and I'll explain. Have you seen a Kansas sunset or an Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana way? Have you watched the cold fog drifting over San Francisco Bay? Have you heard a Bob White calling in the Carolina Pines? Or heard the bellow of a diesel in the Appalachia mines? Does the call of the Niagara thrill you when you hear her waters roar? You look with awe and wonder at her Massachusetts shore, where men who braved a hard new world first stepped on Plymouth Rock. Do you think of them when you stroll along a New York City dock? Have you seen a snowflake drifting in the Rockies way up high? Have you seen the sun come blazing down from a bright Nevada sky? You hail to the Columbia as you rush into the sea, or are you headed Gettysburg, our struggle to be free? Have you seen the mighty Tetons? You watched an eagle soar? Have you seen the Mississippi roll along Missouri's shore? Have you felt a chill at Michigan when on a winter's day her waters rage along the shore in thunderous display? Does the word aloha make you warm? You stare in disbelief when you see the surf come roaring in at Waimea Reef. From Alaska's cold to the Everglades, from the Rio Grande to Maine, my heart cries out, my pulse runs fast, the might of her domain. You ask me why I love her? I have a million reasons why. My beautiful America, beneath God's wide, wide sky.
Mornings at 8:30, Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks-Kors provide perspective on KMOX and KMOX.com.
And Overnight America continues for, you know, about the 30 minutes-ish tonight. So if you want to get on, you can. And we were asking that question, what does socially distancing look to you? And what's the new normal look like to you? And some people are talking about the best-case scenarios, and I had a conversation with Jeff about this last hour. And a reporter did ask about, hey, we've been looking at these models. Are we going to see better-than-expected outcomes, which I have been calling for? I do have this feeling that it's going to come in lower than what the lowest projection was because we're seeing all these advancements at rapid paces, and you can't really account for that in your models. So someone asked the I think it was Dr. Birx and also Dr. Fauci about that.
Are we on track for those best case scenario numbers that you had laid out, the 100,000, or are we potentially coming in lower than that at this point, given some of what you're seeing?
You know, it just gives me an opportunity to thank and respect the modelers who have really worked on this, because there's a large number of them have worked very hard and did.
This is code for we're about to make fun of the modelers.
What we did is we did predictions of predictions. We like to integrate data, and so that's where you come up with these numbers. I think Dr. Fauci and I both strongly believe that if we work as hard as we can over the next several weeks, that we will see potential to go under the numbers that were predicted by the models. And I think that is really two things. It is the extraordinary compliance of the American people and the diligence that they have mitigated with. Because remember, we are doing this strictly by behavior change. It's very hard to change trajectory of viruses on just behavior change. We have had difficulty in our past doing that. So that's what we're doing. And
it's almost like they gave us a goal to work for now. That goal being that if you are good, boys and girls, then we may even come in better than expected, and we can get out of here earlier than expected. It's almost like when you're at school and the teacher says, well, if everyone gets done with their assignment, you can leave early, and all of a sudden everyone's motivational factors get heightened, and they hurry up and they rush through it and they're ready to go.
I'm glad you asked that question, because I've said it a couple of times here. I want to say it again. Repetition is good. Is that models are good. They help us to make projections. But as you get data in, you modify your model. And I've always said, data always trumps models, always. So what I feel, and I believe that Dr. Birx also feels, that I don't think anyone has ever mitigated the way I'm seeing people mitigate right now. This has never happened in this country before. So I am optimistic, always cautiously optimistic, that if we do what I've been talking about over the past few minutes, we can make that number go down. I don't accept every day that we're going to have 100,000 to 200,000 deaths. I think we can really bring that down.
All right, this is good news. They say they think they can bring it down. They meaning us, the people that are mitigating, self-distancing from each other, being careful, washing our hands, trying not to spread this sort of thing. This is good news. You know, there was another bit of contention from earlier today that I think is worth mentioning, because some of the reporters been asking about this one IG report that came out, and they kept bringing it up. Oh, this one IG, they're saying that, oh, they don't have the testing. They don't have this at the hospitals. They don't have this at the hospitals. Let me see if I can find one of those clips. And President Trump, actually, one of the questions that came in about testing and the way the testing's going, he was not ready to give in to what they were insinuating with the questioning.
Despite the nearly 1.8 million tests that you say the United States has done, the Inspector General for the Department of Health and Human Services released a report today, a survey of more than 300 hospitals across the country, and the number one complaint from those hospitals were severe shortages of testing supplies and long wait time. I mean,
it's
a week
wrong.
Or longer.
And did I hear the word Inspector General? Really? It's wrong. And they'll talk to you about it. It's wrong.
But this is your own government.
Well, where did he come from, the Inspector General? What's his name?
It came from the Inspector
General. No, what's his name?
I don't know his name.
Well, tell me his name. Let me know, okay?
All right, so it goes on a little bit from there, but saying it's wrong. And you know what? I think it's Admiral Guire came in and had to give an explanation about what's going on. And really, it's funny because the reporters come in and they say these things and, oh, we're going to take what some rogue person has said and we're going to use it as a way to try to slam, right? But President Trump, I think, has a pretty good detector on those sort of things and is able to turn it back around. So is it really that big of a report if you don't know who the person's name is? Okay, and you're the one asking the question. I mean, that's honestly speaking, if you don't know who put the report out, you're just, what that indicates to me is that you read a headline somewhere and you thought, oh, this will be a good gotcha moment. Oh, I read a headline, or I read the first paragraph of a story, but I don't really know the whole story, but I'm going to ask the President of the United States about it. You got to come in prepared to these, right? You have to. So the Admiral Guire, I believe is his name, talked about that report, and I think he pretty much shut it down.
So I can talk a little bit more about testing later on, but as the President said, 1.79 million tests have been done, and this does not count the hundreds of thousands of tests that are done within hospitals that are now currently not reporting. So I'm sure we're well over 2 million. That Inspector General report was done here, 23rd, 24th, during our ramp up period, quite a long time ago. There was
now, well, real quick. So they had the graph behind them, the 23rd of March. So it was taking weeks ago. We're in a different position now than we were weeks ago. Okay, so that's what they were pointing to on the graph.
Quite a long time ago, there was clearly, and it's hard to interpret the report because it mixes up all kinds of things, but clearly there was complaints by some hospitals of a backlog probably at send-out tests, and that is true. There was several days of backlog at some of the major labs that have been taken care of. We know now that the ACLA labs now have a 24 to 48-hour turnaround. They're doing well over 100,000 tests a day. We now have the Abbott machine that's point of care. That's 18,000 of those instruments throughout the country. The Cepheid machine is now all across the country with a 45-minute turnaround. We have worked directly with many of the hospitals that have their own laboratory-derived tests. Some of those really, quite frankly, didn't understand the regulatory freedom they have to use other different kinds of instruments or different kinds of reagents. So, like they do now, and I'm on the phone with them all the time to make sure that everything is clear. We have a 24-hour call number. But that's what it was there for. And I don't know the Inspector General. I don't know that person. I tell you one thing I have a problem with. If there was such a problem that she knew about or he knew about on March 23rd and 24th, why did I find out about the test from them on the news media at 8 o'clock this morning? If there was a problem, I think you're ethically obliged to tell me where that is so we can interact with it like I do every single day. But that's a discussion for the future.
Ooh, mic drop, and he's absolutely right. So every time a reporter brought a question up, oh, did you hear this report? Talk about this report. He had the admiral go up there and say, that report, I had to find out about it by watching the news because they decided to take it to the media, not to the authorities and the government that could do something about it. That goes to show you it's politically motivated, right? It goes to show you either someone took it when they weren't supposed to and released it early. Maybe there is some sort of motivation. Maybe there's something else going on there. But honestly, if you're trying to make a difference, you wouldn't take it to the media. You'd take it out. Plus, you're using old data, as the admiral pointed out. So that was good. I thought that was a good distinction to point out. We'll take some of your calls coming up in 314-436-7900. That's the number you call in Overnight America KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Yes, I enjoy it just like you do, I hope. You know, and I am very much enjoying that we get to spend this quality time together while I'm in my basement wearing the sweatpants and socks, wearing a comfortable shirt, sitting back, relaxing, maxing. And we're on Facebook, too, so if you want to like my Facebook page, I'm going to post something tomorrow that you are going to love. I'm telling you this right now. Ryan Recker Radio, that's where you can find it. So anyone that may be listening anywhere in the United States or listening back on the podcast or maybe listening on the radio.com app or somehow that metal plate in your head, you can only tune in KMOX because that's what you prefer. this is a great opportunity for you to be reminded to look up Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook, or better yet, next time you're in the bathroom and you pull your phone out, because I know that's what you do in there, take that moment of alone time to look up Ryan Recker Radio. Stop scrolling on Facebook endlessly looking for something that you know you're not going to find. Just go straight to the Ryan Recker Radio Facebook page. I'd love to have you on there. How about we go and take a call real quick? Let's look at James, who's been waiting. Hey, James, what's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Do you have a Florence Knight yell in there? I think the cat's already out of the bag. You must come to Pennsylvania. Huh?
What did you say? Do I have a what?
I said, the cat's out of the bag. Do you have a Florence Nightingale in there, the mother of nursing?
The Florence Nightingale. Are you saying that is producer Mike? He's my Florence Nightingale?
Yeah. I want to know, did you ever come see the mountain laurel in the state of Pennsylvania? It's along the creeks and streams, and it's illegal to pick, and it's purple like royalty. It comes in a nice little package of flowers.
No, I've been through Pennsylvania a few times. I used to travel between Michigan to New Jersey, where we had family, so we'd always travel through the mountains and the tunnels of Pennsylvania. And then, where did we go? So I went to a wedding out that way, and we had to go and stop in Pennsylvania. This would be the southeast corner of it. And they had a special Amish parking out there where you can put up your horse and buggy on the side of the parking lot at like a Walmart. It was something else. The only place I've ever seen that.
Do you know where Bird in Hand is? That's Amish town, Bird in Hand. Do you
know
where Intercourse, Pennsylvania there? Intercourse, Pennsylvania. Is that there?
Don't know that either. I'll have to check the Google Maps.
I want to ask you one other thing. In American history, do you have a Lizzie Borden there? I'll whistle the tune. Lizzie Borden had an axe. She gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave father 41. Bye-bye.
Wow. I never know what to expect when he calls in from Pennsylvania. Never know what to expect, honestly. This is kind of the joy of Overnight America. You never, ever, ever can tell what you're going to get on this show. What else did we have from the press conference earlier? There was a question about China on there. This was an interesting part about it, too. And, you know, the interaction between President Trump and the reporters. You got to give him credit because he'll take any question and he'll listen to it and he'll take it on face value. And if it's what he considers a good question, he'll take it. But if he considers it a misleading or out of context question, he's not having any of it. But still, he'll take every question as an individual question. He'll still call on people he knows that are going to try to get him with these certain tactics that they've been using on him. But he does it anyway because he's not afraid of it. This is one of those moments that he is such a different type of politician. He is someone that is so, so different than you go back to President Obama or you go back to President Bush. I guess President Obama had a little bit of this in him. President Obama, when he'd take a press conference, I don't think he'd be afraid to get into somewhat of a conflict, but he was more diplomatic. President Trump doesn't feel the need to be diplomatic. He just wants to give you the straight answer. President Bush, when he went through a press conference, I don't think he was as talented as a Donald Trump when it came to handling situations, right? He was not able to think on his feet as fast as Donald Trump. If you go back to Bill Clinton, that's a whole different time. It's almost like politics post-2000, completely different than pre-2000. It's almost hard to compare them at this point. But here's one question that I found pretty fascinating.
Only last week, there were multiple flights coming from China full of medical supplies.
Yes.
Companies like Huawei and Alibaba have been donating to the United States
like 1.5 million N95 masks
and also a lot of medical gloves and much more medical supplies.
Sounds like a statement more than a question.
And Ambassador, Chinese Ambassador Cui Tianhai last night wrote an op-ed on New York Times calling to cooperation with the United States. So are you personally working directly with China?
We just signed a trade deal.
So fighting with the
virus. It's the biggest deal probably ever made. And I hope they're going to honor that trade deal. If they don't honor the trade deal, then I'll tell you a different answer. But I think they will. They're going to spend billions of dollars for agriculture. They're going to spend billions of dollars for many different things, whereas China never spent money in our country. We spent money. We had a deficit, a trade deficit with China for years of $500 billion, $400 billion. We had the biggest trade deficits in the history of the world with China. Now China is going to spend a lot, has agreed to spend $250 billion, many billions of dollars in our country, much of it going to farmers and manufacturers. So I'll let you know. I mean, I hope they're going to honor the deal. We'll find
with
out.
China? Are you cooperating with China?
I don't know. Who are you working for, China? You
I
work
know,
for China or are you with a newspaper?
Hong Kong,
who are you with?
Hong Kong Phoenix TV.
Who owns that, China?
It's
is it owned by China?
Hong Kong.
No, is it owned by the state?
No, it's not. It's a private-owned company.
Okay, good. Okay. Look, I'll let you know. I'll give you a good answer to that in a few months. I wanted to see what they do. Because it's time for them to help us, okay? It's time right now for China to help us. And hopefully they do.
All right, so I wanted to play this entire thing. It's a two-minute clip. And he goes on a little bit more after that and basically reiterates what he was talking about, this new trade deal with China. But this is what you're going to see because of this press conference and because it was a later one. And it was, what, like 5-ish? It started 5:30-ish, somewhere in there. So what they're going to do is they're going to hone in and they're going to say, look how racist Donald Trump. I'm just going to use my crystal ball and predict what the mainstream media is going to be doing. They're going to hone in on that part and he's going to say, look how racist. You have this reporter of Chinese descent, obvious by just by the looks, the physical appearance, you can tell very quickly in also by the accent. You can say, okay, we can pretty much determine sort of nationality associated with this individual that's coming in here. So what they're going to do is they're going to focus in like a laser beam to that one part where he says, who are you with? Are you with China? Are you with China? And they're going to play that and say, oh, what a racist president he is. Just another example of how racist he is because he called it out that way. Completely ignoring the first minute 25 where he took and answered the entire question where she was trying to defend China through the way she was asking the question. Keep in mind, China has a full-blown propaganda machine going out blaming this virus on the United States and Donald Trump. As we speak, that's going out there. And she goes in all of this and, oh, what about China? And so he goes and he answers the question. He said, we've always been, we got a new trade deal. I have no idea how they're going to react to it. They should honor it. They hope they honor it. Finally, we're going to have some of these trade imbalances, so, and then we'll see how it works out, okay? And then she goes to ask another question where she's, again, makes it sound like she's leading into it to try to defend China in a time like this, asking the president of the United States these questions. And he says, all right, who are you with? Are you with the state-run media asking questions like that? That's the only part they're going to play, but I think it's important you get the full context. So when you hear these sort of things spun tomorrow, you'll have the full context. Well, you'll be able to say, okay, enough of this. It's exhausting the way they continue to try to spin this. Another segment, one more left on Overnight America KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Hey, how about that? Overnight America continues for just a couple more minutes, and then we have a replay or two, which you can go, and actually, if you wanted to listen to it now, you can at KMOX.com/ONA. We post the podcast on there. You can search Overnight America on any of your favorite podcast apps and listen to any of the shows whenever you please. It makes you feel like royalty, really. I mean, you're like a king or a queen. You just have your index finger, and next thing you know, you press one button, and there I am at your command. I'm like a genie almost. It's just amazing. I'm mixing up too many metaphors here. A few things I want to get to before the end of the show. So apparently President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden had some very nice conversations. What did they do? They chatted for about 15 minutes about the coronavirus, because when you are trying to be friendly, you know, the coronavirus is the first thing that comes up. So someone asked them about that call today.
Mr. President, Vice President Biden's spokesperson said that he made some suggestions to you about actions that you could be taking to deal with the pandemic.
He did. We had a very good talk. We agreed that we weren't going to talk about what we said, but we had a very, very good talk. It was a warm talk. I enjoyed it. I hope he enjoyed it, too. And it was short. It was 15 minutes.
Did he have good suggestions? Anything that you're going to do?
Well, he had suggestions. It doesn't mean that I agree with those suggestions, but certainly he had suggestions. And I also told him some of the things we're doing. But the conversation was a friendly, very friendly conversation.
It was a very friendly conversation. Isn't that nice? Well, that's what you're seeing right now, the way that they've been talking to some of these different governors out there, you know, sending stuff to the states, working with the different governors. And you get a different mentality. You get some governors that get this, governorship where they get out there and then they get this sort of like courage when they're in front of the microphone. And I'm going to use this to my political advantage and I'm going to score some points because I hate Donald Trump as a president, right? That's what you've been getting with some of the different governors, including Governor Pritzker. You don't see that with the ones that are true leaders, right? The ones that are like, you get Governor Newsom. I don't like him. Like, I don't think he's, I agree with him politically speaking. But in a time of crisis, you see him working with the president because he's doing what's best for his state. Governor Cuomo in New York, don't like him politically. Sure. President Trump definitely doesn't get along with him, politically speaking. But what happens in a time of crisis? He's trying to do what's best for his state, and the government's working with him. Governor Pritzker, don't agree with him politically. What does he do? Doesn't get along with the president. He goes out there and complains and whines and you know, even the president had to mention this the other day. Oh, always complaining in the public. But when I talk to them behind the scenes, they seem to be just fine. You know, that drives me crazy to hear that. Do what's best for your state. Stop whining, like Governor Schwarzenegger would say. You know, what's that movie he was in? We'll go, stop whining. The Kindergarten Cop. Yeah, that's what you need to do. Run your state. Notice that you have the obligation to take care of your people. When you need help, you go to the federal government. But your first inclination shouldn't be to go to the federal government. If you're unprepared to take care of your own people, then you're unprepared to take care of your own people.
Stop it!
It's evident. Yeah, no, because stop whining. And that needs to be pointed out. All right, and he's been mentioned by the president 2 days in a row now. Man, I had all kinds of different clips I didn't really have a chance to play. Apparently, Bill Gates was on Fox News Sunday. That's an interesting one from Bill Gates. Quit being irresponsible. We're talking about the governor of New York, Cuomo.
Look, people are dying. People in the healthcare system are exposing themselves every day to tremendous risk walking into those emergency rooms. And then they have to go home to their family and wonder if they caught the virus and they're bringing it home to their family. If I can't convince you to show discipline for yourself, then show discipline for other people. If you get infected, you infect someone else, you go to an emergency room, you put a burden on all sorts of other people who you don't know and who, frankly, you don't have the right to burden with your irresponsibility.
Yeah, cut it out. Stop being a knucklehead is essentially what they're saying. You know, we only have about a minute here, so real quick, Ed, can you do this in 1 minute?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Ed.
Well, it is 59, breast and brain cancer, and I'm 74 and have COPD, and I'm totally stressed out. Plus, they're letting all the criminals and felons out of jail.
Some of them, yeah. Even some violent ones. It's a sad thing, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. So you're stressed out through all of this. What are you doing to cope?
Drinking Bush.
Is it working?
It helps a little bit.
All right. Just a little bit. Maybe you don't want to become too reliant on doing that to deal with your problems. Are you a praying man?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm praying like hell.
Well, keep praying. Make sure you're praying to the right side, though. All right, Ed, keep it going. You know, we're going to get through this. You need some reassurance. We're going to get through this. We're strong. We're Americans. You're going to get through this, too. So thank you for calling in tonight. Have a good
night. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless. All right. Well, yeah, everyone copes in their own certain way. So just, I got to say, we're going to replay our first couple of hours of the show tonight. And I got to tell you, Rich Rubino's going to join us. We're going to get an update from Johnny Rabbit. Everyone's been asking, where's Johnny Rabbit? Well, you know, it's a little bit more difficult to do a music show, so it's a little more difficult to work from home. So he'll explain. He's doing fine. We'll talk politics with Rich Rubino, and then we'll talk to Kevin Killeen about his trip to the homeless camps of St. Louis along the banks of the Mississippi. Quite an interesting conversation with him. Go to Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. Ryan Recker Radio. You can get it right there. Enjoy the rest of your night. Enjoy the replay. We'll be back again tomorrow after Cardinals on KMOX. We'll see you.
My heart beats with the lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio, find something playing kind of bluesy and slow. If things were only like they used to be, we'd be lying in love tonight. I wish you'd call me on the telephone. I don't.
Engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.